You're listening to The 21st. I'm Lee Gaines, filling in for Brian Mackey. The COVID-19 pandemic is tiring. And for those working long hours, caring for kids, or taking care of other responsibilities during this stressful time, it can be downright exhausting. You'd think that that would make us more eager to go to bed on time, but actually, a significant number of people, myself included, are postponing their bedtime in favor of a few hours of personal time. Think scrolling through social media on your phone or an extra couple episodes of that TV show you've been watching. It's a phenomena called revenge bedtime procrastination. Joining us to talk about it is Elise Shaheen, the editor-in-chief of the Sleep Foundation. Elise, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, are you putting off your sleep to enjoy some time to yourself after a long day? What effect has that had on your life? You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. Again, that's 800-222-9455. So Elise, I know I gave a brief description at the top here, but can you begin by explaining what revenge bedtime procrastination is?
Absolutely. So this is a term that describes the decision to purposefully sacrifice your sleep for leisure time because your daytime schedule isn't allowing for it. It's become very popular on social media, but the idea actually emerged in China and then rapidly spread globally as a response to the high levels of stress during the pandemic. So the translation from the Chinese term is actually a reflection of the frustrations tied to long, stressful work days and hours that are really leaving very little time for enjoyment or leisure on the other side.
So I'm curious, Elise, is this something, you know, I copped up to doing this myself. Is this something that you've experienced personally?
I have actually. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was definitely guilty of this. But as time progressed and I was seeing negative effects during my daytime hours, I have stuck to better sleep hygiene and a bedtime. So, and it does work.
And what were some of those negative effects that you saw?
Absolutely. So, you know, sleep deprivation can really affect a lot of sleep is tied to all of our bodily functions, but short-term effects are mood changes, lack of energy, slower thinking and processing, slower reaction times, which this is definitely as we're starting to move around and maybe come out of our quarantines or, you know, our lockdown periods. Drowsy driving is a very big thing. It was before the pandemic and it is continuing during, and worsened memory. So it could definitely affect short-term as well as long-term.
And Elise, in general, do you have a sense of how the pandemic has affected sleep quality for people across the globe?
Definitely. So, you know, with COVID coming in, there was an added stress, which I'm sure that we've all felt. And that was associated with more work from home time. If you have children, remote schooling. So if you have two parents or even one parent that's working from home with remote schooling children, it applies a lot of stress and anxiety. You know, there's a constant barrage of information and changing of information under these circumstances, which is also adding, to the stress and anxiety that we're feeling. Our routines have been broken. We've seen significant job loss, which, you know, has seen a slight uptick, but we're not exactly where we want to be. And now the stress regarding the vaccine, do we get it? Don't we get it? Which one? And, you know, how do we make those decisions and where do we find that information? So all of this combined really it's not surprising that we're seeing that about 40% of Americans are reporting sleep issues since the pandemic started.
Wow, 40%. And is that up significantly from previous to the pandemic?
Well, the pandemic came during a sleep epidemic. So the United States was already sleep deprived before this. So it does seem that we are trending towards worse sleep at the moment.
And so because sleep procrastination is still a fairly new concept, there's an ongoing debate, I understand, about the psychology behind it. Can you talk about the psychological conditions that scientists think are contributing to sleep procrastination?
Of course. So most people who engage in revenge bedtime procrastination, they know and want that to receive the appropriate amount of sleep, but they're actively choosing not to. And that's known as an intention behavior gap. But we should also take into consideration the fact that our self-control for anybody is at its lowest point at the end of your day. So there are some people that are naturally inclined to procrastinate. So the daytime pressure that they are subject to may further reduce their self-control at night. But that said, there's an argument that there's too much emphasis on self-control, as some people have a nighttime chronotype, which a chronotype is any individual's propensity to fall asleep during a given period of time within the 24-hour period. And we like to call those night owls, which is a much easier term for it. And also, you know, sacrificing sleep for leisure doesn't necessarily have to be seen as an issue of self-control, but rather as an attempt to recover from your day. So, you know, all of this being said, research is still being conducted, and there are likely going to be many factors that contribute to revenge bedtime procrastination, including the evening chronotype, daytime stress, and difficulties with self-regulation.
And Elise, I want to touch on something you said about it might not be an issue with self-control. I think that, you know, myself included, and probably a lot of listeners out there know that they're engaging in revenge bedtime procrastination. They might not know the term for it, but they know that, you know, what they're doing is they're sacrificing sleep for more entertainment, more personal time. And I think that there's a lot of guilt associated with that, or there's this feeling that we know that this isn't what we're supposed to do. But it sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, you're not a weak-willed person, or you're not an irresponsible person for engaging in this behavior.
Absolutely not. And that is actually one of the defining features of revenge bedtime procrastination, is that you are delaying your sleep and reducing your total sleep time, but there's no reason for the actual delay. So there are no late night events that you're at, and there's no underlying condition, let's say insomnia, that you're struggling with, and that you do understand that this is very well could have a negative impact on your next day.
And if you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Lee Gaines. I'm joined by Elise Shaheen. She's the editor-in-chief of the Sleep Foundation, and we're talking about this emerging concept in sleep science called revenge bedtime procrastination, which describes the act of putting off sleep to make time for yourself. You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. And so, you touched on this a little bit, but what are some tips for gaining more control of your sleep schedule?
Absolutely. So you should really take into consideration your body's circadian rhythm, which is a very large piece of the puzzle. So the body has multiple circadian rhythms, which are 24-hour cycles that are a part of your internal clock. And for the sake of this conversation, we're going to look at the sleep-wake cycle, which is a big one. So this is the body's internal clock that gets signaled in the daytime with sunlight to be alert and awake, and with a lack of sunlight in the evening to go to sleep. So there are a lot of things that can interrupt the sleep-wake cycle and cause disrupted or fragmented sleep. And sleep hygiene, which I briefly brought up earlier, is the practice of daily activities and also nightly routines that will promote or even induce sleep. So I think the first step in, you know, assessing what you would need to do is to determine how much sleep you need for your age. And we have a wonderful sleep calculator on sleepfoundation.org, just because children, adults, teenagers, and even older adults, we need different amounts of sleep. The average adult needs about 7 to 9 hours, whereas children and older adults need more and less respectively. So really taking that information and determining a bedtime and a wake time and sticking to them, which is kind of hard as an adult, I will say, because you think of bedtimes as something that you almost impose on your children. But it is really something we should learn to incorporate in our own schedules. During daytime, I really suggest getting outside for some sun exposure. Not only is it great to trigger your internal clock, but it's a great way to take a breather from the daily grind. So a lot of us are working from home now. We're not really socialized that much, and there is a lot of stress and pressure associated with our day-to-day. So that 20, 30-minute walk outside can really clear your head and, you know, allow you to be more alert and awake, but also, you know, take a breather. And I would say that if you are a person who likes to exercise, definitely do that earlier in the day and not close to bed. And avoid naps if possible. If you're functioning on a sleep deficit where you had a poor night's sleep the night before and a nap is really something that's unavoidable, try a power nap. So 20 to 30 minutes, don't sleep in your bed. So your nap isn't associated with your bed. You'll be more easily roused. And another thing would be to, you know, avoid alcohol and caffeine later in the evenings, especially caffeine for the obvious reasons. But alcohol, we tend to think of it as something that will induce sleep, and initially it will. So, you know, a glass of wine isn't so bad, but usually once it progresses beyond that, it will allow you to fall asleep, but it will interrupt the later, deeper sleep stages. So you won't really stay in REM the way you're supposed to. You won't cycle through your sleep cycle correctly. And then, you know, this one seems kind of easy, but avoid a large amount of liquid before you go to bed or heavy meals, just so you don't have to get up and use the washroom. So yeah, those are just a couple of tips.
Well, thank you, Elise, for all of that helpful information. We did get a call from Sean in Peoria. He wanted to know why it's called revenge, or why the term revenge is in the phrase or in the title of the phenomena.
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's pretty much what it sounds like. It's a way of getting revenge on your daytime hours that have little or no free time. So you're taking back that time that you weren't allowed during the day.
And so, you know, following up on that, would it be helpful for people to set aside some alone time or personal time, entertainment time during their day to do some of the things that they've been doing at night during bedtime procrastination?
I believe so. I think it's important to take a break from your day, no matter what you do. Sometimes our careers or children, families, or whatever circumstances you're in don't allow for it. But, you know, if you really do try to set a schedule where you can take time to yourself, it may allow you to feel more fulfilled at the end of the day personally, and, you know, make it feel better to stick to that bedtime, even if, let's say, you finished work or whatever your daily activity was a little later than anticipated.
And you mentioned avoiding naps during the day. What would you say to someone who says, you know, maybe I only got 5 or 6 hours last night, but I'm going to take a nap, or I'm going to catch up on sleep over the weekend? Is that doable, or is that a myth?
You know, it's kind of split with regard to whether you could catch up on sleep deficit. So naps are a great way in the short term. So if you've had maybe a night or two that aren't so great of sleep, you take a couple of naps and maybe you could close that gap. But if you're not sleeping properly as a normal practice, this is happening more frequently, more chronically, naps very well won't close that gap for you. Neither will waiting for the weekend to sleep all weekend and then get up on Monday and kind of continue in that same pattern. That's where you really do have to look back and either examine your sleep hygiene and what you have been doing during the day and how you have your daytime and nighttime routines, or even I would suggest seeking a medical opinion. There's nothing wrong with speaking to your doctor about what you should be doing to amend the situation.
And just an FYI to our listeners, we did put a link to the Sleep Foundation's sleep calculator and to the story about revenge bedtime procrastination online. It's now available at 21stshow.org. And Elise, do you have any advice? This is something that I am really guilty of. So here's my, mm-hmm. Personal question here, but I think a lot of people probably have this issue as well, which is, what would you say to someone who's struggling not to look at their phone at night, or someone who says, hey, I need to have my phone in my bedroom because my phone is my alarm clock?
Absolutely. So this is a lot. We see this a lot. So I would say the first thing, if you can, is really try to turn off your electronics at least 30 minutes before going to sleep. And that means not only your phones, but your tablets and your TVs and even dimming lights around your home. So you really want to try to stop the intake of blue light, or at least diminish it. If that's a non-negotiable, there are a lot of blue light filters. So I know that I have an iPhone. You could put on the orange light filter and set a schedule on your phone where it will actually filter out the blue light for you. Also, there are apps that you can download to do that. There are also blue light blocking glasses, which are gaining a lot of popularity because there are some pretty cute ones out there that don't just look like the old school ones. So I would say that those are very easy ways to take control of that. But I do strongly encourage people to put their devices down, at least 30 minutes before bed, and give yourself a chance to slow down.
Well, thank you so much, Elise, for that helpful advice, so much information. Elise Shaheen is the editor-in-chief of the Sleep Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And coming up next, we'll discuss Easter and its significance in Black churches. This is The 21st. I'm Lee Gaines.